It's Will Sean Podcast. The internet cried out for two more blowhards, and they courageously answered that call. Armed with the weapon of wit, each week they're joined by guests to discuss movies, television, pop culture, and anything else that's pissing them off. Take it away, boys.
I'm Will Link.
And I'm Sean David.
And this is Will Sean Podcast?
No! No, they will not podcast, because we are Andrea Marchand and Christy Morales, and we have taken over the podcast. No, no applause? Nobody? Christy, how you doing?
Let me tell you something.
Tell me something.
What really bothers me is this week I've been stuck in traffic much longer than I needed to because people refuse to use the light to change the signal.
The flicker.
The flicker thing.
The turn signal.
What? Is it really that hard? I mean, your hands are on the steering wheel and you can just click with the last two fingers. And you know how much traffic would be avoided
that way?
Or stick
your arm out the window.
Like a cyclist. But so tell us, Andrea, what are we doing today?
It is our 50th episode, the end of season one, our quarter quell.
It has been an
exciting year. Well, what quell means is, it's like quail.
Like the bird?
Yes. Just kidding.
Delicious egg.
It's been 50 beautiful episodes. Hilarious. Sometimes. Not so hilarious. Other times. Angering? Always. Just kidding. I'm kidding. I love it. Housekeeping.
We have some housekeeping. We don't even know how many fans you guys have these days. I remember that they were like...
Billions?
I would say billions.
On Facebook, I think I checked this week and we were at 17 billion likes. So that's, we have really upped it since the last episode. I appreciate that greatly.
That just means that their egos are that much bigger. So please tell us who the sponsor is this week.
The sponsor for this week is an exciting one. This week's episode, in fact, this entire first season, has been brought to you by kittens, puppies, sunshine, and smiles. Happiness, everyone!
Yay! With enthusiasm, Andrea.
I love puppies so much.
I love puppies. Can we talk about puppies the next podcast episode?
Well, I don't know if we can. What are the topics we have this week, Christy?
This week we have Spartacus returning to television. I have not seen a single episode, so I really can't elaborate.
Makes two of us.
And then Fringe has ended.
Ooh.
That was still on the air. And then my favorite, Jennifer Lawrence, hosted SNL, and I feel like a criminal for not watching. but it's on the DVR, so I'll look back on this. And then Lance Armstrong admits to doping to Oprah.
He did what?
He did what?
He did not.
Oh, yeah, he did. I knew one ball was just, like, a little too good to be true. but first... I know. I'm like, all right, well, we got to bring them on.
Mystery guests. Who are the guests?
Who are the guests?
On the Christy Andrea podcast.
Because they would obviously be our top choice, right?
Of course.
They run a mildly popular and not a very funny podcast. We have Will Link and Sean David. Welcome
Woo!
To the show.
Hello.
Hey, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you. That was very surreal.
You're welcome.
It was like being on the outside of a really cool party, looking through the window and being like, can't I come in? I know I'm Jewish. I'm sorry.
Let me say this.
Disclaimer, we are not an anti-Semitic podcast.
No, we are not.
Resuming.
Not as easy as it sounds, is it?
No.
Is it?
It's not as easy as it sounds.
No, because we'd say so much more. I'm kidding.
You go so in-depth. That's why it's harder for you. We're very shallow.
We are. We don't go much further. Yeah, it was fascinating, though, to sit here and to have to suppress my every desire to make a joke at everything you were saying. It's like, I got one for that. But it no.
Congrats on your 50th.
Thank you.
This is a big deal.
You guys look a little 20, but 50.
This podcast has put fucking gray in my beard.
Well, you look good.
Thank you.
There's just for men if you need it.
This podcast has given me a reason to live and get up in the morning.
Oh, wonderful.
A reason to live. But it's also, I'm sure that it's really improved your dating life.
No, not really.
He's like, haven't you heard a single podcast? No, it's not.
If anything, it's had an adverse effect.
Just because you're so popular.
You've blessed
the 17 billion likes on Facebook are just wreaking havoc.
I have so many women now that I can't make a choice, so I just instead I stay home and masturbate.
No, the problem is that you don't get around to actually asking her out because you're so focused on getting her to listen to the podcast, yeah. that it's a completely
promoting
different...
yourself.
Yeah, you end up selling the podcast and not yourself as a sexual partner.
We have to book guests for me to sleep with, is what I'm saying.
That's awkward.
Oh, well, we got two
warning
right here.
Warning to future guests.
Well,
don't come on the show.
Oh, wait, it's
disclaimer,
not our show.
Disclaimer, episode 3 and episode 15 are not in any way involved with Mr. Will
this
Link.
This is true. I did not sleep with Will Link.
No.
Not yet.
Which means he's available, ladies.
Although we are drinking some Elijah the Prophet, whatever this is.
No, this is apple juice.
Oh, it's apple juice?
Apple juice. Yeah. Are you feeling exhausted again?
I am.
Non-alcoholic apple juice, of course. As opposed to the other kind.
So,
it's your show. We're just the guests.
Boys, we have some questions for you.
Stroking your egos, because we have some questions for you guys.
Okay, fire away.
Do you want to talk about yourselves first and foremost?
I always want to.
Where did you grow up? What were your dreams? What were your hopes and aspirations?
What day were you birthed?
So what was our origin story is what you're asking.
C-section natural.
I don't know. Am I supposed to answer this?
Yeah, no.
All right, seriously, we can answer. So why did you start the show? Why the heck would you say, hey, I'm going to take on this weekly endeavor and pester people to being, I'm just kidding, they'd love to be on the show, but why?
It's interesting because Sean and I, about now like a year and a half ago, were involved in a really crazed email chain with some other friends.
Well, Lorenzo, who's both
Lorenzo Minetti, Zach Fox, and Carrick Bartle.
Hmm.
And we were talking about films and stuff, and at one point, we were like, we should record this. We should talk and record this.
Because we would exchange about 10, 20 emails a day on a big reply to all, and we would just have this constant dialogue going on, whatever was pissing us off or whatever was going on that day.
Usually film-related. And then one night, we went to the Foxfire Room, this bar down the street, to try to plan it out. But instead, we just got drunk. Sean gave a speech about Fassbender films, and nothing ended up getting accomplished. But then, about a year ago, Sean, I gotta say, was the one who's like, Will, you and me, let's just fucking do it. Let's do it. Let's get it going. And these other people, because could you imagine doing... Look, this is a nightmare
it's too
with
many.
Four...
Yeah, it's too many people.
So me and Sean started doing it, and now that's what it is.
I did not know that that's how this started. Yeah. I'm a huge listener.
That's
not
because...
I love this show.
You're a proportional listener.
I am a regularly sized, average-sized woman listener, whatever that means. No, but I listen to all of the episodes when they come out, and I love them, and I wish that I knew that before. I should have asked.
Well, this is the first time
ever.
The tables are turned on us for you to
I
have
like
the opportunity.
It. I really like it. We're in control
of this. Ask
us
whatever you want, but...
How often do you have...
What are you wearing?
No, I'm just kidding.
So you can see what you're blind.
So how did you guys acquire the means, or like, how did you set it up?
Well,
because you know that the sound quality's rubbish. So
I yell at you constantly about this.
Well, so what Will and I actually did before we had any equipment, we recorded an episode 0, which no one has ever heard, and it was just the two of us talking at my computer to the built-in microphone, just to figure out how would this work, how does it sound. Once we figured out that we actually needed microphones, did a little research online. Figured out how to host things on iTunes. I did all my homework.
It's
YouTube
a very
videos.
Complicated... Sean drew out a diagram for me once I did not understand.
How the magic of how what happens here at this table ends up on the internet. I'm the only one that understands it. So we got some equipment, and we recorded our first episode. It was the Oscar special last year.
Yes.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
And then we had Nathaniel McGillnick was our first guest. And
he was like a PhD in molecular biology,
yes,
right? Yeah.
The smartest guest we ever had.
I'm rude.
Yeah. Because I have a PhD on awesome, and Andrea has one in amazing.
So that's how we did it. We just made a commitment to just start booking people. And as you know, initially it was just our friends and people that we felt comfortable asking to come on. And then now it's gotten to the point where we're consistently having guests on that. The day we record, that's usually the first time we ever meet them, or the second time.
Yeah.
Which is great. There's an element of surprise, I'm sure.
Yeah, but there's also an element of sizing each other up a little
bit. There's also an element of when I start, oh, fuck you, fuck, blah, blah, that sometimes their eyes widen, and they're like, oh, it's this kind of a show.
I would like to see what happens sometimes.
Sean, she did ask about the shitty sound quality also.
That is an ongoing struggle that I have. If you would like, I could bore you with the details.
No,
of how
let's
USB
not do
headset
that.
Mic
how are the levels looking?
Levels are looking fine, but as I've found out from experience, that don't mean shit.
Yeah.
The levels could look fine, and you can still sound like you're three rooms away talking into a seashell.
I don't know what we could honestly do about the sound.
Well, it's I have a friend who does sound.
And it's only taken us a year to get around to like, hey, maybe we should. We run a podcast wherein the most critical element is the audio quality.
Yeah.
And how I always justify it is, well, you know what? I've listened to professional podcasts that are recording in a recording studio with sound engineers, and they sound like garbage sometimes. So we get a pass.
If I may say so, I like the variety of guests that you have.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know that's not a question, but I like that you have Revenge is Nick Wexler. And then
That's definitely one of my favorite episodes.
Pretty good one.
He's a handsome man.
Super funny.
Things that were
he
inappropriate
looks
right. And I really liked it. He looks all right. He only works out
gotta
4 hours
humble.
A day.
Gotta keep him humble.
No, but I really do like the variety of guests that you guys have. It keeps it interesting. I learn things.
Yeah.
And I've liked all your female guests a lot. You've had really strong, sassy,
absolutely
very intelligent female guests.
I prefer when we have not, you know, we have a guy on next week, but I prefer women on the show.
Of course you do.
But one, yeah. Well, no, but I mean, I think there is an element of where we bring a different kind of level of enthusiasm, a fuller, not, I don't want to say flirtiness. But
it's a good
I'll
dynamic.
Say flirtiness. Concupiscence. No, is that not the word?
You just made Alyssa Vaughn very upset.
Did I? Alyssa Vaughn. Hey, how's your third rewatch of Friday Night Lights going?
It's great.
No,
it's
I'm not
really
talking
good.
To you. I'm talking to Alyssa Vaughn.
Well, you should talk to me because I'm doing it too.
Again?
This is getting a little inside baseball.
All right. Oh. Speaking of inside baseball. Yeah, so
I have a question.
Oh, do you? Yes.
Yeah, actually.
Raise your hand.
Well, everybody, I'm raising my hand. No, speaking of which, I just wanted to know. Inevitably, with 50 episodes and with the variety of guests that you have, you're going to expose a little bit about yourself, personal insight and experiences and all this stuff. I was wondering if your family or friends have had a reaction to what you've shared with guests.
That's a
like,
good
for
question.
Instance, the last guest, or not the last one, but a couple of maybe the last one, I don't remember right now, but the
Jeff
guy.
Dalton.
Yes, everybody's favorite non controversial guest, or Nikki the Switch, or other people that have brought out kind of controversial topics and that have brought personal
shame
things
on
out.
Your family.
How or shame on your family. So, how do you guys.
My family. I know my family, at least, I know my aunt once listened to an episode because she said I curse too much.
I have that on
she
my
said,
notes, by the
yeah,
way.
She said I curse too much. But other than that, if they listen, they don't tell me.
So they're probably not listening.
Yeah. Well,
no.
They probably know that if they tell me, like, we heard you talk about knowing a dominatrix and what's all that about, then it's going to, you know, interfere with. Like how one I conduct
with Christmas the, presents,
but it's gonna interfere with how I conduct the show. Maybe they're afraid, or like maybe they're afraid I won't say like, oh, suck my cock if
right.
I know
right,
my
right,
mom's
right.
listening. So for all I know, my mother might be listening.
Sorry, Mrs.
Hi, Will's
Link.
Mom.
But
hi.
I don't know. I mean, she knows it exists,
right?
And she's not an idiot.
Okay.
So she could. She must have, because if it was my kid, I'd have figured it out.
Right.
On my end, my parents are vaguely aware that I do something called a podcast, which I think my mother thinks I have a radio show. they have no idea how to access it, where to find it. My siblings are aware that it exists, mm-hmm. and they know how to find it. And I don't think they've ever listened to an episode, which I find slightly relieving and simultaneously obnoxious. It's like, yeah. Really? You didn't listen to one episode? Like, I'm only posting about this online all the time.
Right.
You're smart, figure it out. I think my brother may have listened to an episode,
yeah,
maybe the second episode.
Why wouldn't your brother listen?
I don't know, but you know what? I almost prefer that they not, because it's a little more freeing this way. I don't
yeah.
need them to listen.
You don't have to think about
and
it.
And I think the only reason I would maybe want them to listen is so that they could tell other people to listen to it. But on the other hand, I don't know.
But they won't because of the shame you're bringing upon
the family. Yeah, it's strange, and I'm a little annoyed that, you know, if my mother read my book, I found it really weird. I was like, I don't want you reading that. Not that there's anything in there.
It's
Your
a great
book's
book.
Great.
Yeah.
I'm just
you should
a little,
read it.
It's weird. I have this weird, it's not a shame complex, but I feel very insecure about any sort of creative endeavor.
You know what's funny, though, is that
I think, you know, here's what it is. Real quickly, I think it's like, you waste your time doing this stuff. Why aren't you married? You know, I think it comes down to like
to avoid that conversation. No, the week that I was on the podcast that I was a guest, my grandmother asked what I was up to musically, and I was like, "Oh, I was just a guest on this podcast." And she's like, "Pod what? Can you send me a cassette of it?" And I was like, "Nope, all right, and we're done."
But you know what's funny?
So you guys need to get cassette tapes so I can
send
them to my grandma.
Cassettes to your grandma,
so she can hear the F bomb.
We'll have her on as a guest.
be the best
F-bomb friendship.
Yes.
But you know what's funny? Because I mean, I made a lot of films in college. And a lot of the films dealt with, like, I made a comedy about a coat hanger abortion. I
40
made
years,
a,
Roe versus Wade.
I made
40
a,
years. We I'm, need to acknowledge that after this.
I made a comment, I made a film about, you know, autoerotic asphyxiation, all comedies.
Oh, uh-huh. Hilarious.
And my mother saw all these things.
David Carradine.
My mother saw all these things, and there were, like, a lot of rigor mortis hand wrapped around penis imagery in the film. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what she knows. But I think my mom probably has the same thing. She probably, you know, she's hoping I book a guest to get to marry the guest. Not
yeah.
To...
It's like I said, I've always been very conflicted about doing creative stuff because of my unique relationship with my family. I love them all dearly. Don't get me wrong.
Of course.
Just, yeah.
Well, what do you two have favorite moments? We'll link you first. Do you have a favorite moment... Or favorite episode, even?
You know what episode I really like? I really like, I think it's episode 23, the Lindsay Hollister episode. It's early enough. I mean, it's more than half. I mean, it's a while ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I thought she was one of the better.
46% into the run.
Well, I thought she was one of the better guests that we had because she had all these stories and also a unique take on Hollywood because she was a plus-size actress.
She's definitely one of my favorite as well.
Yeah, yeah, she was really good.
Her stories were fascinating. I was glued to that episode for sure. And she's funny, too.
Yeah,
she's very funny. How could I pick one episode? They're all my children.
Oh, uh-huh.
No, I think
pick
my favorite,
favorite
episode
baby
is
and do it
Taylor,
now.
The Taylor Negron, Ethan Brockowski
episode.
That was
too.
That was a
is
gem.
Is Ethan single? I was just wondering.
Oh, no, hey. He's not. I was at a New Year's Eve party. He's dating,
I'm really disinterested in what you're going to say now.
He's dating a girl who looks a lot like Regina Spektor.
Good
well
for him.
Done.
But you're a little chagrined.
But,
I don't know. I've liked I mean,
it's interesting you bring that episode
funny.
Up.
Oh, yeah, that's my favorite.
I wasn't going to bring that episode up.
Ah, come on.
You
got to own your mistakes.
Yeah.
That's true, Sean.
No, what is one of my favorite episodes? I'm thinking, you know what? It's strange because we prep them. We record them. I then get to listen to them again, usually, if I do a quality editing, as I edit them. And then I check them out again over the weekend. But they don't – I don't know if they don't stick, but I'm already moved on to the next episode. By the time they're released – I'm already focused on the next week's episode, and it's like, oh yeah, that. Like, I always forget that we already have one.
I would
out
imagine
there.
That they all bleed together.
You know, I thought
after
the MC Lars episode was a lot of fun. He was a good
I liked
guest.
That. I like
yeah,
him.
Yeah, heck
he
yeah.
Yeah, he's
shout
very likable. I enjoyed him.
That was a fun episode.
That was our first episode that we went on location.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh. And I'm in this house. I'm unplugging things. I'm plugging things in. I'm moving chairs. And then all of a sudden, halfway through, this, oh, maybe he's one of these people that's neurotic about everything and I shouldn't be touching all
no,
this stuff.
No, he's a great guy. Really laid back.
Since you bring
smart.
That episode up, and I don't know if you were going to ask this, but that episode features one of my favorite personal enemies of the podcast, which
I don't remember.
Which was that one. And it was a half tongue-in-cheek one. It was Taylor Swift. And I said she was a menace. She was a menace to all men.
You know, she's awful in that sense. Cause she's exposing everybody
yeah,
she
I know,
dates.
It's a
so
lot.
She dates high-profile men.
But
I have to tell you something.
It's her right.
She's,
I'm sorry.
No,
we
I agree. It is
keep
her right
going.
To do
she's
it.
She's only like a year older or younger. I
she's a baby child.
Than Adele. Vastly
oh,
different
yeah.
worlds musically.
I never thought
hello,
of it
love,
that way.
I'm Adele. I sing.
I've lived through heartbreak.
But
heartbreak.
All this is ridiculous. This is all from one rubbish relationship. Thank you.
But
she economizes.
You're right. It is. I mean, it is because honestly, I've written things about girls I've dated or broken up with me. But I mean, it's still. I mean, that's why she was kind of. Some of the enemies are like tongue in cheek. Like she was kind of tongue in cheek. Andrew Garfield was a tongue in cheek.
I love. No, that one was hilarious. Give us some of your other favorite enemies because the enemy of the podcast is one of my favorite. I look forward to it every podcast episode.
One of the most legit enemies of the podcast. Was on your episode, Andrea, and it was Chris Brown. Because that is a guy that there have been multiple times I've wanted to make him into the podcast, but we haven't repeated, so I try not to.
Yeah.
I mean, because he's just scum.
I was solidly proud of you guys. I was like, this is a great podcast. They're the voice of women, you know. And then...
Oh, because when people want to know, want the someone to be arguing for the voice of women. Oh, that's an interesting
topic.
It's
you.
Yes. I like the Google car enemy, actually, that you're going to die because of the Google car. I have a man in my mid-30s who's terrified of technology.
Well, no, the Google car, that's dangerous. There's nobody driving the car.
I agree. It's a horrific idea.
That car's going to kill a kid.
We've given up. We've given up.
Let me ask you about the sponsors. Did you guys have any favorite sponsors?
Well, Sean, we were going to do this organically. You ask about the enemy. That's her favorite as well as mine. And one of my favorites absolutely is the ads of that you come up with every week. And I wanted to know what genius stirs up before
Usually I start thinking about it while at work the day of the podcast. I usually don't have it written until the guest is here, and I ask them for 3 minutes, and I quickly write something down.
But it's brilliant. Like, some of the stuff you say, I'm like, I haven't even thought about that in so long.
Yeah.
Like the Guado toothpaste, the self-surgery, fantastic, amazing.
May I say my favorite? I always like the simpler ones, the kind of unexpected, and my favorite was... the Bible.
The revealed Word of God.
The Word of God, literally available everywhere.
That's amazing.
Usually where the ads come from is, and for those of you that haven't figured out, they are made up products and services that are not usually legit.
It took me a couple of episodes. Except the Bible.
Are you saying the Bible is made up?
Well, it was written by man.
Inspired by the Word of God, Sean.
But, someone just lost her headset. There's different forms of the ad. Sometimes I will make up a product or a service, like the final word, eulogy eulogy company. Sometimes it'll be something like, shoes, get a good pair.
I hated that one. I was not
That one existed because you broke your shoe or something.
It's because he's so brilliant and then to have a shoe, which is great because it could be so simple and so complex.
Well,
so
a lot of times, the same way the enemy is a way for Will to just kind of piss... to yell about whatever's pissing him off.
And that's what's funny.
The ad is a way for me to just kind of get off my chest anything that's on my mind at the moment. It's also a place for me to be a little highbrow, lowbrow, and a little needlessly esoteric.
I wanted to ask also just a side note, like, what the heck happened to Jewish History Corner? You talked about
you know what?
Purim, and then that was it.
Well, you know what? Because we got into a lull. Jewish holidays right now.
What's Hanukkah Rosh Hashanah?
My birthday fell on Rosh Hashanah. No, Yom Kippur.
Did it? That's why I didn't go to your party.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And I was really upset because I went to St. Nick's. You were like telling everybody about St. Nick's, and I was like, the Will Sean podcast was MIA at my birthday party.
That's
I was
not
really
cool.
upset.
Yeah.
Okay.
So then I got broken, and I was okay.
Derailed.
Inside baseball.
Inside baseball.
Yes.
Let's move on to the topics unless we have any more questions. Yeah.
I'm good to go.
I'm good to go, too.
Are you willing?
I think that's all I want to know about these two, so let's move along.
Okay, you can leave now. Thank you. Please leave the headsets behind.
So let's move on to the topics of the week. Spartacus returns to TV.
Yes!
So
Sean's favorite drama?
Apparently.
Is it?
Yes, it's phenomenal.
All right.
So what is this Spartacus you speak of?
Spartacus was a Thracian slave turned general who defied a Roman Empire.
But in
English, this we knew.
On FX or whatever.
It's on Stars.
Stars.
Which is frustrating because I don't get Stars and I love the show. So
How
I keep watching on DVD.
Got it.
And I acquire episodes through super illegal means and thereby get to watch it.
Sean.
I yell at people about this, like, Freddy.
Oh.
Sean, could you make me super legal copies?
I can see what I can do. So this is the final season of Spartacus.
Cut this out. The podcast.
Cut it out.
No Full House references on this podcast,
Every
please.
Full House. How rude.
I was going to say.
The show is, on the surface, you could dismiss it as being trashy because it is... we've talked about this before, but it's violent. It's naked.
Yeah,
it's
it is.
It's insane. It's the kind of show where it's not enough for someone to have their head chopped off. The head needs to fly up on a geyser of blood into the camera, and the eyes need to blink at the audience. Why the show is so good is because the scripts and the characters are so strong, and the storytelling is so assured. Most of the people that work on the show, the showrunners, Stephen Estenite, have a background. They worked with Joss Whedon on Buffy and Angel, and so they really know how to tell television stories. They know how to draw unique characters, and the plotting is meticulous. Each season is so well structured and put together, and everything that happens on the show comes out of the characters and is highly motivated, and so it just creates a much more satisfying show. It's melodrama of the best degree, and I really love it. This is going to be the final season of the show. It's
the last season. I can't watch it when it's on, but even if I have to wait.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert. I know what happens to Spartacus.
Not really, because if you go in the historical record, there's you know what happens to Kirk Douglas in the Spartacus movie.
They crucify him.
That's not what happened in real life. That's not if you go, or that's not what we have based on the sources.
And you've lost Christine Andrews.
This is like a tennis match.
Yeah. So that being said, it's coming back this week. I'm very excited.
Okay.
And it's going to be awesome. And this season, we get to see a young Julius Caesar and Marcus Crassus. That's kind of how they made their name.
Okay.
Was hunting down Spartacus.
Just sounds like a lot of good-looking foreign actors.
Yeah,
like
a lot of Australians.
I approve of this.
If you like blood, if you like penises
and boobs,
sold and sold
and a lot of anachronistic shaved congenitals.
When gold watches.
Just gold watches and blackberries. Spartacus be tweeting.
It's the final season of the show. A lot of shows.
Oh, I didn't
War
know
of the
that.
Damned.
Okay.
You can't not like anything that's called War of the Damned.
It's
like
that. It's a lot of shows are ending.
Yes.
I know.
Indeed. And you know what's another show that just ended? Fringe.
What do you think of Fringe, Christy?
I have only seen like half of season one, and I actually really liked it, but I never continued because I'm not a fan of Fox. So
Wait, that's why you didn't watch?
Totally kidding. No. No, I just didn't know what time it was on. I saw it on DVD. It was really good, really
interesting. Speaking of hot Australians.
Absolutely.
Joshua Jackson.
He's not Australian.
Oh. No. Anna Torv.
She's Australian?
She's amazing.
Yeah.
She's great. Yes, yes,
and
yes.
And she's brilliant on the show. And as the show went along, she became a much better actress. I think you see her become... It's funny. You watch half of season one, and that first half of season one, I think, is kind of rough. It only becomes, like, more brilliant.
Of course, because it's still finding its direction. But she's really solid in the character, in the actor that plays her father. Both of them were definitely my favorite characters in the,
or not,
in the
it's
show.
It's not her father's... Peter, Joshua Jackson.
Yes, 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 yes.
Walter. And let me say, this is one of the great characters in all of science fiction that I've ever seen, Walter Bishop. And I think anyone who watches the show agrees, because he's kind of like a mad scientist.
Right.
But he's also, he had parts of his brain removed because he was so, like, horrible and cruel. And now he's all kind of fucked up, but he's like, he cares just about as much of, like, making a strawberry milkshake as he does about, like... like, I mean, he's, like, giddy about... Like, there's a great scene in the... They have these bullets that when they shoot you with them, you float up into the air. Like, because of what they're filled with. And...
Charlie and the Chocolate Factory?
Well, it was from an earlier episode, and there's a line in the finale where they're going up against the bad guys, and he hands Peter the gun. He goes, why are you giving me this gun with these bullets? And he's like, because it's cool. Because that's all he cares about. He just, like, he gets off on stuff like that. But honestly, the series, I think, ended perfectly. It ended with a lot of emotion. They wrapped up all the relationships. They had a lot of callbacks. There was a callback to a great episode from season two called White Tulip, which is probably the best episode of the series.
You're making me want to watch this show.
I think it's over from the beginning.
Well, now, you know, it's an interesting point, but because, you know, these shows are over, we're now living in an age of television where we have shows that end, you know, and we also have shows that are constructed around a definite dramatic arc. Whereas in the past, the show would just, like, The Fugitive, it would just be on until it wasn't on anymore.
And then finally there was one episode that tied in the whole thing.
Yeah, or like MASH. Right. MASH, like, you know, if MASH were real life, the Korean War would have been 13 years long.
Right.
Right.
So, but it's that sort of thing. But now, you know, going back, like Spartacus, where they can tell a full arc story, and it kind of started with The Sopranos.
Right. Hated that, right, Will?
I hate The Sopranos.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. but no, it's just like, what shows do you... I mean, for example, Friday Night Lights, which you love.
Adore.
Does that have... I haven't seen it. Does that have, like, a story that carries through?
It does.
Or does it just kind of run out of time?
No, it really does have a story that carries through.
Okay.
It's beautiful.
But, sorry.
Yes, Christy.
The most important show, for me anyway, that is ending this year, which is monumental. And you know, the fact that it's ending should be the enemy of the podcast, but it isn't, sadly. Breaking Bad. How amazing is that
show? That's the best show.
I haven't seen an episode.
Well, now's a good time to get into it.
I'm finishing Mad Men.
No, no, no.
I'm finishing The West Wing, and then I'm going to start Breaking Bad.
And you're finishing your seventh watch through of FNL?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know what? Here's the thing I like about, though, that Breaking Bad is ending. And same thing, at least, with Fringe. And it was a big thing for me with The Lost. At least it's ending on its own terms.
Exactly.
Back in the day, shows would just get canceled. And then it's like, oh, we'll never find out. Yeah, like, at least, like, Fringe got to end.
Like Twin Peaks.
Twin Peaks just, you know, gets canceled. You know what show actually really, you know, you mentioned The Sopranos, but you know what show actually, and I was thinking about this watching Fringe, because Fringe has like an X-Files thing to it a little bit.
That was a show that just kind of ended.
And well, no, it ramped it up, but by the time it did, you didn't care anymore. Yeah. That was a show that had a mythology that was ongoing, but they would mix it up with kind of standalone
Monster
episodes.
Of the Week.
And a show that's kind of like that right now, unfortunately, I feel, is Dexter. I feel like it's kind of... It's hit its mark already, and it's now
it's
every season is just kind of vacillating around the same topic and subject and you know, villains, and then just recycling again over
well,
and over.
Well, I think the X-Files taught a lot of these shows, particularly Lost and Fringe, which are also sci-fi shows, what not to do.
Right. Hmm.
Because, like, Fringe had kind of standalone episodes, but they always kind of, in those standalone episodes, continued their mythology.
Well, Buffy would do that as well. Buffy was a show that was brilliant for about six seasons, and then it just had, like, one extra it was, like, one season too long.
Too many. Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of shows have that.
But you know what show never gets old?
What?
Saturday Night Live. Now, Jennifer Lawrence hosted this past week.
She did.
Delicious.
I love her. I want to be friends with her. I want to buy her a glass of scotch.
She's the person
like,
you want to be best friends with, for sure. And
until
drink
until she
with.
Sleeps with your boyfriend and is unrepentant
and
about
then
it.
I have
I feel
to
like
kill
I'd be
her,
okay
and
with
that's
it.
Tragic.
Let me tell you what. She also, I love her in interviews. She comes off so unpretentious.
Unhinged.
Well, she says whatever she wants.
And I like that she'll jab, too, because some of the interview questions they'll throw at her, she'll be like, are you serious?
Yeah. Well, let me ask this. I mean, speaking of jabs, they kind of addressed on SNL this week her jabs at
ridiculous.
She didn't really take a jab at Meryl Streep, but they try to make it be like...
First Wives Club quote.
Well, intimately familiar with the First Wives Club.
No, but I mean, if it wasn't a First Wives Club quote, I thought it was funny. And she wasn't like, suck it, Meryl. It was so funny. She was being adorable and funny.
Doing this
She's
too.
The kind of person in her own career where, and she just comes off in interviews already, where she would not be dumb to that extreme to make a point like that
very savvy about the industry and about
and I'm sure Meryl Streep laughed at the comment.
Yeah,
I feel like watching her in Silver Linings Playbook and some I feel like we're watching go back and watch although it's not a funny movie but watch Meryl Streep in like The Deer Hunter. She was beautiful when she was young. She's still beautiful, but I feel like watching Jennifer Lawrence and like we talked about this last week, we're watching a young Meryl Streep in action. But what do we think of her on SNL this week?
I really am so upset I haven't seen it.
I thought the episode was one of the worst written sketch episodes ever.
Yeah. I'm with you.
And I was really upset because they wasted her potential and her talent.
A skit, Top Dog Chef. I mean, it was the stupid. Like,
it was so dumb.
I don't understand. Yeah, I think they wasted her talents. I like the only skit I remember laughing at was the Hobbit one. There was a trailer for the Hobbit where it was like
18 movies. I'm paying
with a credit card.
Yeah.
No, the one sketch I thought that was brilliant and she sold it was the Insult Diner.
She was the rude waitress.
But she was just like,
oh my gosh,
she was violently antagonistic.
Yeah, yeah.
But you
want
to know what? It was almost not funny. She was good, but it was almost like she was so good that it was like, that's not funny. That's just upsetting.
Yeah.
You told these people
but
that.
But there were Ricky Gervais.
This water's from the toilet.
Yeah. There were some sketches where I thought you could almost see her being like, really, is this what I'm having to say? And not bad for her, but being, I just feel like it was kind of
a waste. That's an SNL problem, and there's always, season's got like one good episode of SNL.
Well, no, you know what, and this is the thing. People, the complaints that we have of SNL, they had 30 years ago about SNL. It's a sketch show, it ebbs and flows, and
But she was good.
She was fine.
She did what she had to do.
Her monologue was fine.
I'm sure she's going to be on again at some point, though.
Never. Banned from the
show. Especially with the Hunger Games, I'm sure she's going to be on again and hopefully we'll get it together.
You know what was great about her? I like that she was getting tired of being asked really stupid questions after award shows, and I was watching E! They're after whatever of the
phenomenal
the globes.
Phenomenal coverage.
Hard-hitting. Have you heard of E! Networks?
Yeah, have you heard of that, Will? No, and Juliana Rancic was asking her these questions, like about her dress and her hair and her face, and she was like, yeah, pink. Like, she just looked like, I don't give a shit about what you're saying.
I'm from Kentucky.
And it was really, and she wasn't rude, but it was, you could just see her being like, this is ridiculous.
You know who I've seen act like that at interviews with me? Mr. Wexler. Just saying.
I mean, wouldn't
which
you?
Which is amazing, because
like,
who
you?
Gives a shit?
I exactly, mean, like, they ask questions that just don't matter.
Nick Wexler, star of ABC's
Wexler.
Revenge and
Never
friend
heard
of the
of
show.
Him. Never heard
episode
of him.
Episode 14, right before mine.
You are
what
the greatest.
What are you, like, such a weird savant?
I thought know. I was the number one.
Definitely.
We're going to definitely get out
14.
Over this.
Potted jello fight after this.
Yeah.
Speaking of jello fights and athleticism.
See, I thought the transition... I thought the interview you were going to do was interview, but you said you went
but
jello.
But no, we went with jello fights and athleticism. Continue.
Lance Armstrong. So, Lance Armstrong, he admitted to Oprah that he had been doping. And according to Will's several tweets, he threw a lot of people under the bus. I have been in the dark about this, so
you're
you
aware
guys
biking,
could school me.
Tour de France, Lance Armstrong?
Well, I get that part, okay. And I get the part of using steroids and lying to everybody. I've seen things here and there, and it is. What are you guys'
well,
thoughts
look,
about this?
Well, look, this isn't my show, so I don't get to do an enemy. So let me curse now about
go,
something.
Go, do it.
Let me tell you what. This pissed me off because he does this interview, which going into the interview, I didn't necessarily have a strong feeling about him. I mean, I thought it was kind of lousy what he had done, yeah. But I didn't have a strong feeling. After the interview, I thought he was a piece of shit. The interview actually, I think, did the exact thing he would not want it to do. And I think I'm not alone in that feeling because he threw so many people under the bus. Yeah. I didn't even realize the level of people he had fucked over the years. Because it's one thing to be cheating. It's another thing when it all starts to come out and you start suing people and calling them all liars. And meanwhile, you have the money that you can keep them in court forever.
Yeah.
So this doesn't get out. And then also, he didn't own up to being, like, kind of the head of the doping ring of those cyclists, which means he still says some of these people are lying, which means he's still accusing them of perjury. So... fuck you, Lance.
Yeah,
Armstrong.
He was weird about that.
You would
wasn't
be
he?
The enemy of the podcast, but because he's not picking the enemy of the podcast, you're not the enemy of the
well,
podcast.
Well, he almost spared. put blame on other people without putting blame on other people. He did it like without saying anything, and she would ask a question and be like, "Oh, I agreed not to talk about that. Me and that person agreed not to talk about that."
And all these people are not happy.
Well, and all these people are like, "You're the worst."
You made an interesting observation, which I wouldn't have necessarily picked up on. Lance Armstrong is a very handsome man.
He's super attractive. Yeah. I'm not going to lie about it. I didn't even think so till this interview.
Right. He's
I
been
really,
under the sun a little
I didn't even
long
think
for me,
about
but,
it.
Yeah. I'm just like it.
Keep
well, but
going,
no,
Sean.
And the fact that he's so attractive helps, I'm sure, when he's talking to people, they want to believe him. He's charming. It's
the fact that he had cancer also makes them want to believe him.
And he's got one ball, which means only half his likely
to
get pregnant.
No, I didn't actually
think
about any of that while I was
watching. I know a guy that only has one ball, and he did not have to lie to anybody about anything.
He tried to use the one ball to justify the steroid use in his own mind, which I thought was
interesting. Did he? I didn't watch the interview. I had no interest.
Wait, I don't remember this. What are you talking about?
He said, like, oh, you know, and I thought, like, I needed these extra testosterone, I needed this stuff. You know, he said it was still wrong, but he admitted that he tried to use that as some sort of lame self-justification.
I will say the one part he was the first. Did you watch both parts
I watched
of the interview?
The whole thing.
The first part there was part one and part two on OWN.
I watched 2.5 hours of this bullshit.
Me too. Yeah. Me too. The first he was stoic through the first one, no emotion. I was like, what is this? What is wrong with this guy? Then the second one. When he started talking about telling his children, he was talking about how his son had been, you know, teased at school and we hear your dad did all these drugs and blah, blah, blah. And his son, you know, defended him. Was like, my dad would never do that. You know, shut up, whatever, blah, blah, blah. When he had to tell his son, that's when he got emotional. And for me, there was a part where I saw him as a human being instead of like this raging monster.
That was his one human
Patrick
moment.
And it doesn't make me defend him, but I'm just saying that was the moment where I was like, oh, he actually feels... No, woof. that he actually feels something about this.
Patrick Stewart tweeted something to the effect of, coming as a professional actor, I could tell you this is one of the most brilliant performances I've ever seen. Wow. That people are saying that it's still an act, that if you go back and watch when he was denying all of this, he's just as convincing.
It was
and
horrifying.
Just as sincere as when he's...
He's a sociopath.
I think he could be emotionally detached, and he's like a lot of, like a Tiger Woods. There's a disconnect between their competitiveness and their desire to fill this.
Yeah, no, but Tiger Woods never cheated.
Well, the other thing
on people he did.
Well, on his wife. But
he said he was, Lance said blatantly that he was driven by his need to win everything.
That's like Kobe Bryant and Tiger Woods. It's like all these competitive individuals at the absolute top of their game or their
field. Couldn't not win is basically what he was saying.
Well, guess what? He's gonna, when he dies, this will be the first thing in his obituary, a cheater, not a
well, he's gonna be the one and only person in the Bicycling Hall of Fame. Can you name one other bicyclist?
Greg LeMond.
It's my favorite Hall of Fame. Wait,
Floyd
but
Landis.
Who wins this podcast is what
who
I want to know.
Podcast?
You or Will?
We're having the general fight
Christy.
Later.
Or Christy. Or me.
Well, I am on a PED.
Well, actually, I was wondering if we can, since this is Andrea and my episode.
We're just the guests.
Who are you?
Yeah, you get Lance sucks. So I wanted to bring up the fact that Bravo TV used to be. Sorry, love. This is something that this is a topic I think because there's a lot going on, and I feel like. What are a lot of young women, for example, watching these days? And I feel really strongly about this because a lot of them have driven me to watch Bravo television because if I don't, I don't end up fitting into any conversation because they're like, did you see Shazza's
really
sunset? I'm like, I don't know what this is.
You're not really a woman if you
And you're not Persian.
No, I'm not Persian. And I don't know how I should be looking. I should get a tan. I should be wearing like... flimsy clothes, but I mean seriously though, it's all reality television, whereas before it used to be like James Lipton talking about the Actors Studio, you know, and having these in-depth conversations. And their recent show that just aired is called Vanderpump Rules. Have you seen this?
Yes, it's my living nightmare.
How awful is this shit?
Can I tell you something? I have to tell you something. I feel so strongly in opposition to this show that I tweeted to Andy Cohen, who basically runs Bravo, and I said, and I quote, "The cast of Jersey Shore is world classier than the cast of Vanderpump Rules. Hashtag truth."
What is
Vanderpump Rules?
Lisa Vanderpump is one of the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. She runs a bunch of restaurants.
Another reality television show.
Yes, but she has a show about the employees of one of her restaurants, and I know they're all nauseating. This makes me believe that we have given up as a society.
Absolutely.
Television has given up. It made me lose faith in everything beautiful.
But you know what? And whenever everybody
dramatic.
Tells me how... No,
true.
But you're...
It's true. It's so true, though. This is like a whole other level of douchebaggery, honestly.
But here's the thing. For every... And, well, this isn't the argument you're making, but a lot of people, whenever they talk about all this reality TV show, they're always like it's ruined, television's ruined. It's weird because it's just so much television, because I think television is also the best things that have ever been on in the history of the medium.
Absolutely.
Is on TV. But because we have so much television, we also have the worst things.
Well,
like
I'm the worst
because
I'm watching
Breaking Bad
it.
And Honey Boo Boo.
I mean, what are we I'm watching these things.
So why are you watching it? That's on you.
Wait, hold on a second. Why are you guys watching this awful show?
Because I got sucked in. It was like 10 o'clock and I was sitting there and I was like, Vanderpump Rules, and it follows this
I'm going to buy you a fucking book.
No, for real.
I'm reading like 5 right now on top of it. I don't know how, but anyway, so it follows the storyline of this girl named Stassi, all right? And she, the whole episode is this girl in a different part of the restaurant or Los Angeles talking to her boyfriend about, Jax, where were you last night? Where did you go home last night? Why didn't you stay? Why is your shirt red? Why is your face, like every single thing he does, she berates. And you know what? This reminded me of you fuckers. Who the fuck berates their fans so that way they'll subscribe to Facebook so that they like... How the hell are you going to tell somebody in a mean tone of voice that they need to like you on iTunes? You know what? I fucking hate you guys, but I still listen, and I followed, and I did all of that. So you know what? Fuck you guys. You guys... Will and Sean are the fucking enemy of the podcast. And this is where I drop my microphone.
Drop the mic.
We're the Vanderhoofs.
The Vanderpumps.
We're the Vanderpumps.
No, they're actually lovely. Where'd you get Vanderhoofs from? Vanderhoofs.
So we're the enemies.
Yeah, fuck yeah. Seriously.
And we're taking over your podcast from here on out. Thanks for your computer and
boom.
Mic.
Can I get my headphones in pink? Because I need them to be feminine. Please. Because, Andrew, where are your pens? No wonder you're not taking notes.
I'm writing
so many
notes.
Your pen's too big for you.
So really,
you're
that's
the enemy
how you feel.
Of the podcast.
Yeah, just
now
a
it's
little
out.
Bit. It's
what can we do to change this in the next
Stop
season?
Stop sucking!
Just kidding. You're great.
Get some better,
you know,
better
guests. So, yeah.
No, maybe
you should bring back your guests from episode 3. Oh, I'm here right now.
Oops, we're 50. We're 50 now. Yeah. No, but I, you know, maybe some positive reinforcement would be good.
Maybe thank just the people who liked your Facebook page in the past week.
Okay, well, how about
rectify your wrongs?
Don't
right
berate
now.
Your non-listeners.
So positive reinforcement. So I should be like, fuck you, Chris Brown, but you're really good at punching women.
No.
No, thank our fans, I think is what she's saying. So
yeah,
we get
to the
new
good
like people.
Thank you,
we
to Sean
like,
David.
Thank you to
let me tell
thanks,
you what.
Andrew,
let me tell you what.
Morales.
You know what I say for my fans? I say thank you for a wonderful 50 episode.
Oh,
that's sweet. Let's eat cupcakes.
I'm going to tune in next week.
I know, me too.
I'm going to like tune you guys twice. On Facebook. And on iTunes.
Yep.
5 stars.
Andrew, hey. Explain Stitcher.
I don't remember.
In 2 words
it's
or
like,
less.
It's like crocheting. And
the
knitting.
People at Stitcher are wonderful people.
Yes.
And we are on their network as well.
Oh.
Okay, so we should thank our guests. We should.
What? No, I have one real quick thing to say.
Oh, dear. I love women. We've been over this.
Okay, it's not about you loving women. It's about Lady Gaga and her concert, and I just have one very important thing to say.
Rub it in that you saw it.
My friend had... Yes, that's what it is. My friend got free tickets to a Lady Gaga concert last week, and I went to it.
Yeah.
She came out on what I thought was a real horse, which I then tweeted immediately.
Was it a war horse?
Yeah.
It was a puppet horse. It was guys, you know, because then I was like, oh, there's 6 legs for sure. That's a bummer. Then she did her first song. 5 minutes later, an inflatable object, which looked like a raw chicken the size of a house, came out from a castle. And I leaned over to my friend. I said, that's a raw chicken. Am I wrong? She says, no, that's for sure a raw chicken that's inflatable. It was a woman giving birth,
no.
But inflatable, the size of a house, like at the smallest. She birthed herself out of a vagina.
Roe versus Wade, 40th anniversary.
I would have loved to have seen this. I love
almost
her spectacle.
Threw up.
I love her spectacle.
Can I tell you something? She won me over.
Did
and
she?
It didn't take long.
With her inflatable chicken birthing?
After she came out of the raw chicken and said something, whatever, she sang her face off and was genuine and lovely to her fans and did all this stuff and then did stuff with just the piano. And I was like, this woman is incredible.
Wow.
Genuine and lovely to her
fans. I don't
fans.
Even listen to her music at home.
Lovely
that's the
to
key.
Her
lovely
fans.
To her fans.
She
all
really
her little
was.
Monsters.
So you
guys, away, guys,
bringing it
away.
Back to the enemy, be good to your fans and they'll be good to you.
I'm good to my fans. I'll tell you what, my fans, I think that if I had more fans than I actually do, because I don't have nearly enough fans, I think they would be the kind of fans
he said
who would,
selflessly.
Who would, but who would come up to me on the street and be like, tell me to go fuck myself. I want to be the, tell me I'm the enemy of the podcast. Like, you know what I mean?
I want to be the enemy.
Fuck you, Andrea Marchant. You're the enemy
Yay,
of the podcast.
That's happened. Because I
fuck
feel like
yourself.
You've always, there's like an episode where you're almost the enemy, but not quite.
I feel like there was one that, where there was borderline angry at Andrea.
Look,
also, they mention me every week, so I feel like that's leading
it.
Up to me being an enemy, and I'm excited
you're the,
about it.
Well, you're the muse. You're the.
I want to know why.
You're the good you know you are how I think of you. You're the good luck charm.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, that's why I have to mention you every week. I feel like you're the good luck charm.
In all honesty, episode 3 was
that's
where...
That's when the audio doesn't suck.
But episode 3 is kind of where a lot of ideas... I mean, although we refined things as we went on, episode 3 was our first episode that I'm like... Okay, this will be a thing. And that makes sense because I think the third time you do anything is when
it's
you get
charm.
A grasp of it. I remember the third time I had sex was the first time I truly
got a grasp
understood
on
and got a grasp on it.
It took me like 30
He's only
times.
Had sex 3 times, guys. No, I'm kidding. No, but for me, the... No,
guys,
the third,
why do you tell you the guys?
Everybody. No, but, the ladies. The third episode for me was also one where it just felt more cohesive.
Right.
And you guys had more of a rhythm going. So, yeah, no, I definitely agree. That's one of my favorites
well,
as well.
And you guys have really found... found your groove, if you will. That sounds really nerdy.
This has become so self-congratulatory.
No, I'm sorry, but like on a serious note, it feels kind of old radio-esque in that you have bits
old
and the enemy
radio.
And the ad, and I love all of that because I look forward to who's the enemy going
to
be.
I want to go back to Lady Gaga for a second.
Me too.
You said that she came out on what you thought was a horse, and it wasn't a horse.
But it was men.
And I know earlier this week you had also questioned if you the believability of a puppet horse on stage for the play War Horse. So you clearly believed this horse. So why wouldn't you believe a puppet horse on a stage for War Horse?
I got Twitter yelled at for that,
by the
way. Oh, you
did get Twitter yelled at.
I got yelled at for that. I cannot believe that War Horse is a stage show. I don't understand that. But everyone being my lovely friend Harley tweeting me, was like, it's the greatest show ever. And I was like, okay, I was wrong.
It was playing here at the Amundsen for a significant period of time.
Lady Gaga also simulated lesbian sex on an actual motorcycle halfway
I thought you were going to say she simulated lesbian sex on an actual lesbian, which would have
She might have been a lesbian.
Let me tell you what. I like her. I unabashedly like Lady Gaga.
Lesbian sex? I respect her.
feminist.
No more dodgeball for you.
We've never, you know what, I'm
going to
say,
dodgeball.
Sean, I'm going to say this, Lady Gaga, one of the most influential pop culture people, I don't think we've mentioned her once in 50 episodes.
Maybe once.
I don't know if I remember you mentioning her.
She didn't have an album, this is like her first tour, she hasn't really been in the radar a lot, unless
two
you
records
are,
out.
No, but in the past year she hasn't put...
Oh, well, maybe not in the past.
Yeah.
She hasn't come out of an egg or anything.
I'm going to say this also.
I'm a big Gaga fan, I have her albums.
I'm going to say this also. I know people she's yet another person that people criticize the looks of.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
I think it's ridiculous.
She's amazing.
I think she looks great.
She also showed, this is going to sound really whatever, but she showed her ass in this one part. She kept lifting up her skirt and people were like, oh my God. And me and my friend Allison were like, she has a great ass.
Yeah, I remember, you know what?
She's a little bit of a butterface, but she's got a great face.
No, I don't think she's beautiful.
No, I think she's very, very pretty.
I don't think her face is bad at all.
She gave a whole talk about, like, said, I get a lot of criticism is not a word. Criticism for how I dress and how I look. And she said, I've been dressing like this since I was 16. This is who I am, and I love it. And she's very genuine, and she kept talking about, like, she would put on different wigs and be like, I couldn't afford this wig 4 years ago. I was waiting tables, and she's just
she had a pink dress when she was 16.
She had an amazing thing on her website where she was taking pictures because she got some heat for putting on weight, which is like, you don't look emaciated, and now you look like a normal woman. But, you know, when she put on the weight, she just put on pictures of herself in a bodysuit, and she looked amazing.
Right.
I think the most radical thing Lady Gaga could do is come out in just like flip flop jeans and a t-shirt.
Yeah.
And like no makeup, nothing. Just
play
like,
a guitar.
Yeah. Just play a guitar and just do an entire concert of folk music.
Right.
Just because it has an hour
of Bob
Seger.
That's what I thought because she did half of her, I wouldn't say half, a third of her set she did just she and a piano. It blew me away.
She's great.
She's incredible. She's
great. Did you ever see that HBO? Had you seen the HBO concert she did?
No.
Because I saw that from Madison Square Garden. It was phenomenal.
I bet.
It was phenomenal.
She puts on a killer
show.
That's
the other thing that she does that I don't think... I think some of these big acts take for granted. Like, she gives a full show.
It's 2.5 hours. She didn't leave the stage.
Executive suite money's worth.
Exactly. She didn't... But that was the thing Alice and I kept saying because we're both singers. She didn't leave the stage except for like 20 seconds to change her outfit, and it was only a few times, and she sang her face off for 2.5 hours.
You know who else is like that? Weird Al
Yankovic. Running.
Apparently puts on a hell of a show.
I've seen Weird Al Yankovic in concert, and he puts on a great show, and he does a ton of costume changes.
I bet.
He's amazing.
Well, his show is basically designed as a spoof of like a Madonna show.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
Funny.
The other thing I want to say with Lady Gaga, she is performing tonight at an inaugural ball for the staffers who helped run Obama for
awesome.
A private
That's actually awesome also because she just did two Staples Center show. I cannot speak tonight. Staples Center show.
Blame Elijah.
She did two in a row, and it's grueling. That's incredible.
Yeah,
I like
so
that.
You really
see,
have
I just
to respect
her
I can't even
a
talk
lot.
For 45 minutes.
I can't talk for 2 seconds, apparently.
No, but you really have to respect somebody that's got the stamina and dedication to their fans.
Well, Bruce Springsteen puts on three-hour shows. He's in his 60s.
Yeah,
exactly.
Well, she kept thanking us for spending our money, which it sounds... I mean, I was there for for free, but she kept genuinely saying, like, I thank you for spending your paycheck to come here tonight. I hope I do you justice. And it was great.
It sounds like Lady Gaga left you speechless.
It's true. And then I wanted her bad
so
romance.
So was that.
Oh, and when she sang Poker Face, I thought of Will Link's amazing rendition.
Poker Face, Poker Face.
Speaking of Will Link's rendition, perhaps maybe tonight we can stop by Sardo's. It's a very interesting night on Tuesdays. But
Are they back maybe in yet?
No, it's time for you to get your yearly chlamydia. I'm just kidding.
clap.
But anyway, with that, I think, are we ready to wrap up, guys?
I think we are. I think it's getting that time.
It's getting that time.
So, happy 50th, boys.
Men.
Pardon.
Yes.
When we started this, we were but boys.
Now you're the men.
To quote Garth from Wayne's World 2, oh. did you tell him about my pube?
I made a wish on a pube earlier tonight. It was glorious, and I hope it comes
when
true.
When you wish upon a pube.
That same pube got blown into my drink while
and
I drank it.
And he drank it.
The
and
drink,
drank
which then found its way onto the carpet.
I would rather not speak of that, Mr. David. All right, so we have upcoming guests, I believe, so I guess we're on to the next 50. We have Tom Bibbian, who is a documentary producer, and we have Barb Heller, who wrote and co-stars in the funny show Finding Barb. So, do you guys have shit you guys need to plug, or what's going on? How do we find you guys? Yeah. I want to stalk you guys. Know what you're doing when you wake up, when you go to bed, what you dream about.
What you drink, what
do you
eat.
Do you think about me?
What did you poop?
And Andrea?
Do you run on a treadmill?
I'll tell you what. I wasn't thinking about you and Andrea, but now you're all I'm going to think about.
Hey, boom! Nailed it.
Christy, Andrea, and Lady Gaga. That's what I'm dreaming about.
I'll take it.
A meat dress. I will take it.
That's a very confusing
with some whiskey.
Trifecta.
Yes.
That's a great threesome.
I like all of it.
And Sean, you can come too, but you have to wait.
That's
outside.
What
Sean
she
only
said.
Gets to watch.
You can find me at The Real Will Link. And you could also listen to me every Tuesday at 4 p.m. on the PM show with Larry Minetti, where I review movies. And next week on the Larry Minetti show, there's going to be no Larry Minetti, so there's probably going to be more Will Link than usual.
Well, the cat's
I
away.
Love it.
The revolution will be broadcast over internet radio. Yes.
Thank you for the red reference.
And you can find that at crntalk.com. And you could also...
Is that Christian Radio Network? What does that stand for?
Probably, actually.
No, it means Cable Radio Network.
The hell's cable?
You can
it's
watch,
really
you,
Christian Radio Network. Anyway.
And you can listen to reviews... Not listen, what the fuck
read.
You can read reviews of mine at u1can.com, can like the city in France. I have a review up there right now of the new Arnold Schwarzenegger action spectacular, yeah. The Last Stand.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, I kind of loved it.
Also, it's his love letter to Schwarzenegger. Just saying.
Yeah, I gotta read that. You can follow me at Twitter at TheSeanDavid and Instagram where I
put there a silent Q in that?
There is no silent Q in that, although I should put a silent Q in that.
You can play him on Words with Friends.
Letterpress, actually. Who I pwn on, by the way, y'all. Just thought I'd say.
And my book on Amazon Kindle, Triumvirs, TRIUMVIRS.
It's a beautiful book.
It
I've
really
read it.
Is.
It's incredible,
you
actually.
Cried.
I did.
I might have shed a tear myself.
Yeah.
Excellent.
You should read it.
See,
I didn't cry.
No, well,
I was
but that's because you don't have a
heart.
Big boy.
So, yeah, that's where you can find me and follow my stuff on Facebook. And I also do a weekly podcast called Will Sean Podcast, which
what
goes up every Saturday morning.
That? Sounds waspy.
It's where we interview guests, and we have a partial talk show, partial topics of the week. It's pretty funny. And you should check
that out. What is it again?
It's Will Sean Podcast.
And how Christy Andrea Podcast.com.
And yes. We're also on Stitcher too, right?
I am. It's my favorite. I love crocheting.
So that's where you can find me.
Do you gals have anything to plug?
Yo, hold on. We have the steering wheel today. So, Andrea, what do you have to plug today?
Oh, Lord. I am on the Twitter. At Andrea Marchant. That's with an A, not an E, like Natalie Merchant, which I get mistaken for constantly, and it's nauseating.
And you're better
she's
than
great,
her.
Though. No.
She's amazing, great. But...
I'm on Twitter. I'm going to release some new songs, blah, 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 whatever. That's it.
When,
that's
where
you find me. You can find me
find
on
songs?
iTunes. You can find my music on iTunes. Just search for Andrea Marchant, and my stuff will pop up.
And
in fact, a song that I recorded...
Yet.
No, no.
She will not make laugh you up, cry Chuckles. Into leaving a comment on iTunes.
No, I there's a song on iTunes that I recorded on my episode of this podcast.
Yay.
So there
it's
you have it.
Goods
called
gotta
Goods
win.
Gotta Win.
See, I remembered.
Great grammar.
Even though I put Goods Gotta Give in the description
yes,
of the episode.
Yes, you did. You sure did. You absolutely did.
Well played.
Christy, what about you? Where are you? Where can we find you?
You can find me at 517. It's been, you know what? No joke, it's been like 3 months since I last went. Will Link
you
is
were
mad
at
me.
Sardo's 2 days ago.
You had breakfast there.
Before that was
the week before.
Fox's birthday.
No, you were there the Sunday before.
Oh, shoot,
before
you're
that.
Right. You're right, because my friends have been guilting me into going.
Even is that what it takes?
It does, actually. It's very effective. I'm at Tortuga Rouge. That's for Twitter. It's TORTUGARUGE. People think it's Tortuga Rogue. It's not. It's rouge, like red as in French. Kind of like you and Ken. It's French.
I like it.
Women wear blush. Whores wear rouge.
And that's about all. I play letterpress, too. And
you. Fuck the two of you.
And that's
the enemy.
It.
That's the next
so,
enemy. Good.
Thank you so much for tuning in. Please
happy
listen.
50th.
Happy 50th. Like us on Facebook, go on iTunes. We will love
subscribe.
You, not hate you, and traumatize you. We will buy you a cupcake.
Hey,
here's to 50 more.
Here's to 50 more, and we'll see you then. Cheers.
Yes, we will. Here's to Will Sean Podcast.
Yay!
Boom.